good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Big Cudigee to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. We talk about local and national Native issues all over across Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you today by the COVID-19 hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. through 8 p.m. for all of your COVID-19 questions.
What a pro you are there. Right on. Hey, it's Lewis and I today. We've given the day off to Wendy and Ogama, and they'll be truly missed. I'm sure you'll all figure that out in the middle of the show when we fall apart without them. Right, Lewis?
It just will self-destruct and we'll just be screaming at one point.
Well, Lewis does a great job, period, on the show, and he's stepping in to do the news that Ogama usually does. And I just want to say today we're going to have Bob Blake on from Solar Bear, and also we're going to have Maureen Hackett with Hauling for Wolves, and we're going to get an update on that and what's happening all over Minnesota and Wisconsin and all over what's happening with our sacred animal, the wolf. So without any further ado, I want to hand it over here to Lewis. Lewis, Eagle Thunder, TikTok fame, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and Lewis with the news.
Thank you so much, Robert. Hawamatakiapi, yuha chante washte napecha yuza pilo. Greet with a good heart and a warm handshake. My name is Lewis Eagle Thunder. I'm a citizen of the Rosebud Sioux Nation of the Ocheti Shokoin, and I wanted to bring you some news today about Line 3. A new freckle report in the Mississippi River headwaters from Line 3 construction, separate but related to Line 3 incidents today, continue to demonstrate the deleterious environmental impacts Line 3 is having before oil even begins flowing through the almost completed tar sands pipe from Alberta, Canada. New freckle discovered in Mississippi headwaters. According to Anishinaabe artist and photographer Ron Turnery, of the Indigenous Environmental Network, a new freckle has been reported in the Mississippi River headwaters near the Camp Fire Light Camp encampment site. Recent freckles have occurred during the in-bridge constructions of Line 3 as it threads the pipeline under water bodies of water and accidentally releases drilling fluid or drilling mud containing questionable and trade secret protected chemical additives harmful to plant and aquatic life. Turney made the discovery on September 17th, 2021, and posted images of the freckle. This is one substantially bigger than the original one reported earlier this summer in the area. In total, some 28 freckles have occurred as Enbridge races to basically bring Line 3 operational. More unreported ones, such as the recent one, are suspected. Horse, quote, rides against the current oil, visits Bagley Clearwater area to protest and pray against rupture of the aquifer. As news of the frack out spread on social media today, Winona LaDuke will lead a group of riders to Enbridge's Clearbrook Terminal today around 1:30 p.m. This is basically to protest and pray about Enbridge's puncture of an aquifer in January that was not reported by the company. Wow, big news there. Due to the negligence and destruction of the water source and apparent cover-up, Enbridge now has been fined $3.2 million in a criminal complaint at the Minnesota DNR. If you're not yet preparing for the People versus Fossil Fuels rally at the U.S. State Capitol, now is the time. The event plans to kick off on Indigenous Peoples Day at the nation capitol. Actions take place every day between October 11th and 15th, starting at 8 a.m. at McPherson Square. Nonviolent direct action trainings and legal briefings will be held each evening at 6 p.m. starting October 10th. And I just want to switch gears a little bit here, Robert, and talk about an MMIW case that the FBI is offering $10,000 towards. As we know, in Indian country, missing and murdered Indigenous women is a epidemic that is not reported by mainstream media. This is the FBI in Seattle's field office is currently offering a $10,000 reward for information relating to the disappearance of Mary Davis Johnson, Tulalip, who has been missing since November 25th, 2020. Johnson was last seen walking at the Tulalip Indian Reservation near Marysville, Washington. Johnson was reportedly walking to a friend's house and never arrived. She was reportedly missing by her ex-husband on December 9th, 2020. Johnson is described as a 5'16", 115 pounds with sunburst type tattoo on her upper right arm. She was 39 years old when she disappeared. The FBI, which is working with Tulalip Tribal Police on the investigation, is offering a reward up to $10,000 for information leading to the identification, arrest, conviction of persons responsible for this disappearance. As you know, Native Roots Radio listeners in the United States, Native American women are more than twice as likely to experience violence than any other demographic. One in three Indigenous women will be sexually assaulted during their lifetime, and 60% of these assaults are perpetrated by people of other races. Switching gears once more, two quick upcoming events in the Twin Cities. Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have Good Berry Cookbook Food Demo. Four Sisters Farmers Market event is at Native American Community Development Institute, NACD. As you guys know, our good friend Robert Ulligren runs that organization at the Four Sisters Farmers Market, and that's in off Franklin Avenue. The Indigenous Food Network, IFN, is celebrating the book release of the Good Berry Book Cookbook, Harvesting and Preparing Wild Rice and Other Wild Foods. Written by Tashia Hart, Red Lake Anishinaabe, and celebrate are hosting cooking demonstrations of Four Sisters. Farmer markets led by Chief Derek Nicholas, Red Cliff Band of Ojibwe. Derek will be featuring the recipes in the cookbook, etc. Friday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, Boarding School Survivor and Victim Memorial March, event by Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Join us for a walk honoring victims and survivors of boarding school. Speakers will be Doreen Day and Mitch Walking Elk. A drum group will be provided as well, and that will be Midnight Express on the drum, and that's at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and they're gathering at Little Earth with a prayer, memorial songs, community space to speak, and that's at Little Earth Lake Street in Chicago for those that do not know. There's a lot more information there, but there's just so much to talk about there, Robert.
Oh, yeah, tons to talk about. One of the most powerful things, we had a guest on years ago when we first started, and he was talking about the one in three Native American women that are going to be sexually abused or abused in one way or another. He was at a powwow, and he said some elder came up to him and said, look at the people out there dancing. Look at the women there. One out of three of those women will be abused. And that stuck with him his whole life. And it was very powerful when he transferred that onto our show and let our audience know. I'll never forget that. It was like startling for him, but the way he told the story, and not as well, I didn't tell it as well as he did, that kind of just really stuck with me all these years too, Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm so proud of the work that, you know, groups like Minnesota Women's Sexual Assault Council that sponsors the show and that has, you know, been a tremendous voice. We saw them at the Miguacaton Mendota Heights powwow. We saw both of those leaders there and discussing all this stuff. And it's just amazing that through all of this, even survivors of this type of trauma are able to reach out and uplift others that have been, that have experienced the same type of thing, and create organizations that are Indigenous led by our amazing Indigenous women leaders and tackle this.
Yeah, that's a Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, a big supporter. And I know we support the heck out of them, but they've been supporting Native Roots Radio for a long time here. And, it's just been a great co-op between the both of us. And speaking of which, Lewis, up next we're going to have Maureen Hackett on with Howling for Wolves. And it's going to be a very intense tense segment with her because we, our relatives, the wolves, are under attack again. And so we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm awake. Stay with us.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
This portion of the broadcast is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting climate justice.
We should did Howling for Wolves. We got the founder of Howling for Wolves on right now. We'll have to wait until the regular part of the show when we put that on. But we're here with Maureen Hackett, who's founder of Howling for Wolves and a big supporter of Native Roots Radio. Maureen, you were one of our first sponsors years ago.
I was number two.
Yes,
you do. Number two.
Remember. Right, you were. And do you remember who number one was?
I think it was the law firm of whoever your first law firm was, and I just went up blank. Was it Kaplan and Cerisi?
Yep, that's right. Yep, Robbins-Kaplan. Yep, exactly.
Robbins-Kaplan. I'm going to be waving. I'll try not to wave too much, but I decided to sit outside for this, and there are mosquitoes. So.
Well, it sounds good. And, you know, Wendy with her Sacred Animal section and Ogama and Lewis with the news at the top of the show has brought up some disturbing news on our relative, the wolf. And I know Lewis and I talk about, you know, how sacred wolves are to Native Americans and how we've watched them for thousands and thousands of years and studied them and kind of worked off what they do as Native Americans. And so when the wolves are on attack, they're attacking us too. And so I'd love to get an update on what's going on here. I know, you know, we haven't really made it official, but, you know, I'll be playing golf next week with somebody in Wisconsin, a high up official, the governor. I'll be there talking about wolves, too, not only about my nation, but wolves. So thank you so much, Maureen, for being on.
You're welcome. And you did, of course, hear about the lawsuit that was filed in Wisconsin. That's what you're referring to. And I was just thinking today, I was dealing with a car dealership driver for a car thing. And he was talking to me about wolves because he asked me what I was going to be doing today, or something like that. And he said he learned for the first time today that wolves were sacred to Native Americans. He learned for the first time. He was a 64-year-old white guy. Nice guy. Seemed open-minded enough. And I thought, wow, I haven't done my job, number one. What is going on? But I will say that I was ignorant, too, even, you know, before I started Howling for Wolves. I knew a little, but the first group I did reach out to was Red Lake Nation. And so anyway, what's going on now is out west, we sent out an email alert yesterday asking people to take an action because out west, they're killing so many wolves. People really just don't understand how few wolves there really are and how cruelly they're killed and how there's pretty much just bloodlust for the wolf. And it's beyond, you know, a hunting ethic. It's not a hunting ethic. It's a speciesism, species annihilation. And it's done with glee and it's done with bloodlust and it's bad for our humanity. Anyway, so these hunts are going out west and there is a lawsuit, you know, and complaints filed with the Department of Interior and the administration has decided to review the delisting. And they even have their own people saying there's enough reason, former people like Dan Ash, who used to be the director of Fish and Wildlife Service, saying there is a reason to emergency relist the wolves now. And he had a very well-written, very articulate op-ed in the Washington Post saying, you know, I usually agreed with the delistings. I did. I signed off on them. I signed off on all these plans. But now it's even worse. And they're going for the wolves, and they will keep going until they kill them all, unless there's the fear that they will be relisted. So he was calling for the emergency relisting of wolves. And so that's why our alert is directed toward members of Congress. You need to sign it. They need to hear from their constituents that they want this to happen so they can help pressure the Department of the Interior. There's the letter also goes, I believe, to the executive branch, too. And it's all at relistwolves.org. You can also click on our take action at howlingforwolves.org, and it will get you to the same place, relistwolves.org or Howling for Wolves Take Action. And it's important that we're not silent. And that's pretty much what I said in the email. You know, we have to step up. We have to step up. And in Wisconsin, back to what I started off, they do have this lawsuit. And I think sometimes lawsuits are meant to be public awareness campaigns also. And I think if nothing else, that lawsuit is informing people that wolves mean something to Indigenous people, very sacred, very important, hurtful when they're killed, even more hurtful when they're cruelly killed and annihilated.
Exactly. Hey, Lewis, you got something to chime in? I know we talk about how sacred and our names are wolves, our clans are wolves. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, as I'm Lakota, and we call it Shugumani Tutanka, and they're very sacred. You know, one of the cousins of the wolf is the Shunka, was what we call the dog, right? And dogs are friendly, affectionate creatures. And one thing that really strikes me about what you were saying, Doctor, is, you know, with the 1855 treaty with the Chippewa with Line 3, it's in direct violation of Line 3, what's happening up there in northern Minnesota. And once again, us American Indians, Indigenous people, are not being consulted on these type of issues. We were caretakers of the land for time immemorial. And when it comes to what's happening in Montana, and I consider that an atrocity, what's going on in Montana. And it's doing it, putting money above lives. That's exactly what they're doing. I want to get your perspective on why Indigenous people are always left out of these conversations and why no one's really talking about this on a national level.
Colonization, racism. Why not consult? I think because everybody's bought. And they don't understand the value of what a natural resource is really valued at. And so it's really all about making deals and capitalism and eating your nest, because that's what they're doing. They're eating their nest. And this planet's on fire. We all know that. And we know we need the wolves. But more importantly, we know we need to change in so many ways, but one of the ways is how we value not only natural resources animals, but even ourselves, you know? And so if we could change our ways with the wolf in parallel with your beliefs, in parallel, we would change our ways with each other, because a non-lethal, non-violent approach to the wolf could very well be a great example for how we live with each other, you know, when we have conflict, when we don't agree, when we are really fighting over territory. Of course, wolves do fight over territory too.
Exactly. Well, you know, we got a few minutes left here. How can we support your organization? And also, I know we talk when Wendy's on the show, we have phone numbers, we have things like that. We have call to action. What can we do, Maureen?
Well, I think, you know, everybody needs to get familiar with whoever their representative and senator is in the state of Minnesota and develop a relationship with them enough. Doesn't have to be super close for that person to know that they are the resource for the wolf, that if they, you know, have at least one meeting, or, you know, if you can, and find out what they think about it, or go to one of their town halls and ask them an open-ended question. Don't put anything into their mouths. Just try to figure out what their issue is and answer it and be their resource. If you want to support Howling for Wolves, take our actions when we ask you to take an action. We really mean it. We try not to send too many emails. Spread the word, share the word about what to do, releasewolves.org, but stay engaged politically at the state level, because really that's where you can have a direct effect. And Howling for Wolves will be at that state capitol trying to get different laws passed that protect wolves. I mean, we do lots of things. Like, we got funding for farmers for non-lethal methods for over 5 years put into the budget. We do things as much as we can. The state of Minnesota is required to post how many dead wolves and how they were found every quarter on the DNR's website because of what we did in 2014. So we get things done. We are going after snaring. We would like to continue to try to ban wolf hunting and have an all non-lethal plan with the Department of Natural Resources. And that's where we'll be. We'll be on that panel. How can you help us? Donate to our action fund. If you're not going to get a tax deduction, donate to Howling for Wolves if you can. But stay engaged with your lawmakers and be a voice for the wolf. And you can do that beyond Howling for Wolves. You know, that would be great.
Well, it's exciting, too. And Maureen, I don't know if you know this, but I know you listen to our show, too. But we're in Wisconsin, in Madison, and Chicago, too. So I think the same goes to them, is get in touch with your representative, get to know them, and make a difference, right?
But for now, sign the releasewolves.org right now. That's your first communication with your federal rep, because that's a federal action. And that was put together by a group of groups, and a lot of effort is in this campaign to try to get the wolves back on the endangered species list on an emergency relisting. So thank you for having me.
Wow, Maureen Hackett.
Hey, how about a howl? We've got a howl together.
Are we ready? Are you ready, Lewis?
Yeah, okay. Hold on one second. Okay, yeah, for sure.
One person starts, and then the rest of us try to choose different pitches without sounding horrible.
Okay. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves and future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Yeah, Maureen, for being on, and we'll be checking in with you very soon. What's going on? You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Bob Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break. Thanks, Maureen. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Spruce up your home with non-toxic vegan candles from Wisco Home Goods. They're a family-owned Midwestern business located in Madison, Wisconsin. Not only are their candles 100% sustainable, but owners Don and Jeremy also believe in giving back. Wisco Home Goods always feature a few cents in their Do Good, Smell Good campaign, where you can buy candles and have part of the proceeds go to local charities. So don't just buy scented candles from the big box store. Support a Midwestern company that supports our local communities. That's Wisco Home Goods. Order now at wiscohomegoods.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We're not just another print shop. We give back to the community and stand up for social justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned and proud union print shop in the state. And while we take pride in our work with over 100-plus years of industry experience, we also know it's important to be involved in our community. We're active in the Twin Cities, fighting for racial, social, and economic justice. We believe our employees are vital to our success. That's why we pay a living wage with benefits.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Minuteman Press's graphic design team took our ideas and turned them into an eye-catching promotional piece that was professional, and they far exceeded my expectations. And we sure love that they share our progressive values. They can help with direct mail, signs, promotion, and any other printing needs. Work with the graphic design and print team that AM 950 trusts, Minuteman Press Uptown. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 950.
Hey, Patrick here for Zero Res. Parents, your kids are probably now back in school, but you've also been noticing how much dirt they dragged into the house over the summer, and they made it stink too, didn't they? Well, no matter if your kids are home for online classes or back in the classroom, it's finally time to clean up the summer mess. And my cleaning heroes at Zero Res are here to help. Zero Res will take care of your tiles, carpet, upholstery, area rugs, and pet odors from that summer of fun that just ended. And they can get the yuck out of your air ducts, too. Lucky for you, Zero Res has big savings for you this September. Get back to clean and get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated and cleaned for just $149 and take $50 off any air duct cleaning package. You owe it to yourself and your home to get back to clean this fall. Call my friends at Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or schedule your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 48, Thursday sunny with a high near 71, and Friday a chance for rain with a high around 65. Overwhelmed trying to make sense of Medicare? Medicare annual enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. As a licensed advisor, Harvey Pearl of Pearl & Company can help you determine your health care needs and evaluate your options. They specialize in life, health, Medicare, and travel insurance plans. Learn more at pearlsofwisdom.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
That never gets old. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Put in that good work in Wopalatonka to all those people.
Right on, right on. Hey, it's Wednesday, Lewis, and we're a small team here. We don't have Wendy or Ogama, but we do have Bob Blake, Bob Blake from Red Lake, but also Solar Bear. His business, Solar Bear, is Solar Bear and the Solar News. Welcome, Bob Blake.
Hey everyone, how's it going, Robert?
Look at that graphic.
That is so cool.
It's blowing my mind. Facebook Live or YouTube. Lewis made a great graphic for Solar Bear. Welcome, Bob. And, you know, we haven't told you this because Wendy's not here. We're going to have you on 2 segments, so talk really slow. And, no, I'm just kidding, but.
Well, Robert, I want to start off with talking about what the state of New York is doing right now, because Wendy's from New York. And yep. I feel like, you know, like talking about New York and what they're doing right now around electric vehicles is like honoring Wendy because she's not here right now. So So, Robert, the state of New York has set a law that bans the sale of fossil fuel powered vehicles after 2034. And by 2045, there will be no more fossil fuel powered vehicles on the roads of the state of New York. Wow. Is that incredible or what?
Well, what's really incredible about the state of New York is it's huge. People just think of the city, but it's a huge state.
You know, they really are. And the GDP from New York is like, what is it, like second or third to California or something? Like, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is incredible. Wow, that's great news. And people, Bob, do you think these businesses that already have started going in that direction will beat that date easily, right?
Absolutely. And they're going to save a lot more money, and they're going to add to their bottom line, which is what investors want to see, right? So that's return on investment, ROI. And so, you know, if you're a company, if you're an owner of a business and you're not thinking about renewable energy or thinking about, you know, how am I going to save money on my fleet and gas prices? I mean, you are doing a disservice to the employees and the investors of your company. You know what I mean? So this just makes economic sense. This isn't about the environment now. This is just about plain business, the bottom line.
Right. And, you know, I think we speak to our nations out there that are slowly turning into that. They have fleets and things. I know the nation I'm with has cars and things like that, and slowly changing over to non-fossil fuel cars would be awesome.
And here's another crazy story, Robert, and this is coming out of Germany. Okay. Last year, there was about, 3% of the market was being built around EV vehicles. Okay. But Germany's policies now have required that, you know, electric charging stations, you know, being built over there, being added to new homes, you know, and so forth. Right. Guess what? 22% of the market this year, Robert, is being built around EV vehicles. That is crazy, that jump within a year. So that means Germany is going all out on electric vehicles. And we know that carbon, you know, is the biggest polluter to our atmosphere and the biggest contributor to global warming. And Robert, I don't know if you remember, but do you remember all that flooding and everything that happened over there in Germany just recently?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
That's a big wake-up call.
Big wake up in, I believe, Italy, too. That was France, all that water. It was crazy.
And that was because of climate change, right? So Absolutely. To see Germany doing this is just incredible.
It is. You know, and you have your own business, Solar Bear. And one of the things I was thinking as you were talking is that, you know, it government's slow to move. When businesses like these big car companies and oil companies start diversifying before they're forced to, ought to tell you something, right, Bob?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, all the big three, GM, right, Ford, they're going to have all electric lineups by 2025, Robert. What does that tell you? The second fastest car that got signed up for to was the Cadillac Lyriq, which is all electric. The other one was the Ford F-150 Lightning. What does that tell you about what the public wants?
Exactly.
And it just boggles my mind why we're building a pipeline through the state of Minnesota when the market is clearly showing us something else.
Exactly. And, you know, there's line 5 and line 4 and all these lines out there that are running through BIPOC and indigenous lands. It's cancer-causing ingredients. So, you know, we just talked about another frack out up there in line 3, Bob. It's just ridiculous.
And the other part about that, Robert, is the insurance companies don't want to insure these pipelines anymore. Like, they're not going to ensure these pipelines. This is, I just don't know what our politicians are doing by allowing this to happen.
You know, one thing, Robert, I wanted to ask you is that, you know, I live in Western Minnesota. There's huge expansion here, you know, right out of St. Cloud, Minnesota, a lot of suburb sprawl and all those things, and a lot of new build construction. And I wanted to get your perspective of, you know, the future of building when it comes to implementing solar energy. And also, like we mentioned with a lyric, I think it's called, it's with a Q, a C instead of a Q, but building that type of infrastructure in your garage that you have that overnight, you know, recharge capability. I mean, think about what I think about is like possibility of pairing that with solar energy in your home, so it powers that and your entire home. What's your thoughts around that?
Well, you've got out there in Western Minnesota wind, and you'll see the wind farms out there in Western Minnesota, and that is like super smart because that's going to be generating all the power during the evening, right? And then during the daytime, you're going to have solar. So what a lot of the builders are seeing right now, and I've gone to some of these building conferences, and they're saying that the payback, if you just install solar on top of your home while you're, you know, getting your home built, the payback is like so much quicker than as opposed to if you've done it afterwards. So to your point, you know, Lewis, it's so important that you incorporate solar when you're building something new. Also, you know, England was another story I was going to do here, but they're going to require charging stations in your home by like 2035. So your homes are just going to come with a charging station. I mean, I'm sorry, fossil fuels, but you are dead in the water. Like this is like, I just don't know how a lot of these fossil fuel companies are going to stay afloat. I mean, it's all going to be in junk bond departments. They're all going to be in junk bond departments.
Well, the government still, and Biden still has to give us those tax reliefs, right, Bob? Because we see Missy just put this up that where she lives, the tax rebate was killed just recently. And so we have to have a national emergency when it comes to solar because, you know, we talk about this every day and it almost gets to be a steady drop of water on my forehead. But we're burning. We're burning, Robert.
And the other part about that, Robert, is like politicians, right? We have to elect the right policymakers, you know, in power. So any champion of the climate, like that's who you need to get behind, right? And mm-hmm. and the people out there, that's who you need to support because they're the ones that are going to be able to make the policies that are going to drive us to a carbon-free future.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you got another story for us? Because we've got to talk really slow because Wendy's not here.
Oh, yes. So another story that I was looking at was, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, so the grid, Robert, is really outdated right now, right? The electric grid. And what they're seeing, Robert, is that they're seeing that in more richer areas, the electric companies are making the upgrades, right? Mm-hmm. But in poor neighborhoods, they're not making the upgrades. So we're seeing this displacement of resources going to richer neighborhoods and poorer neighborhoods. So, you know, that's something that, you know, our Public Utilities Commission, you know, our politicians are going to have to look at along with our utilities so that our poorer neighborhoods also are invested in around the electric grid. But either way though, Robert, the electric grid needs to be replaced. It's outdated and just needs to be replaced.
Exactly. And there we go back to a racial redlining that we've been talking about all the way from cable TV to broadband to, you know, we found out how much broadband we don't have when we all went distance learning, and it's tragic. And here we go again.
Absolutely. And so, And what happens, Robert, a lot of times along with this, the grid, right, comes broadband. So broadband comes right underneath the electric grid. So if your upgrades are happening in an area where, you know, you're upgrading the electric grid, nine times out of 10, the broadband there is going to be upgraded too, because that's what the telecommunications companies, need is the energy from the utility company, right? Like Xcel. So good point right there.
Well, you know, speaking of good point, it's always so good to have you on the show. And if you'd like, we can stick around because Lewis and I are just going to gab around and talk a little bit if you have the capacity. If not, we're going to say see you later. But can you stay on for another segment?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Well, we can talk about old times and how we can flip this, put pressure on our politicians, maybe get more involved in that the next segment, and we can all have a little round table about that. Hey, thanks, Bob. That was the Solar News with Robert Blake of Solar Bear. We're going to be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the broadcast is brought to you once again by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Oh. Wow. There you go, Robert. That was good. That was good.
That was a two for one right there.
No doubt. Hey, let's talk a little bit. I think we have like around 400 days to the next 2 year cycle, Robert and Lewis. You know, our first guest really had a lot of good information. Get to know your local politicians, right, Robert? I mean, get to know them. They know you, I mean, and tell them how you feel, and phone calls work and all those things. Don't you guys agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I ran for city council here in St. Paul, and I absolutely loved meeting the voters, you know, meeting, you know, people in my community that I didn't know. And it always amazes me because, you know, I'm on these boards, you know, with the county and with the city and with the state. And, you know, we have to reach out to these elected officials and they seem perturbed by our like having to like talk to them. And I'm like, that's your job. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why you get, you know, elected, you know. So it just amazes me how, you know, some of these people could just turn it on for the election, and then it's a complete, when they're elected, it's they're just on a whole different level. So, right. You know, I just ask people to be aware of that.
Right. And I know, Lewis, you've had a lot of experience with that over the years. I mean, you can share a little bit with us. I don't want you to name names, but, you know, I know you've had a lot of experience with that, Lewis.
Yeah. You know, one of my biggest heroes in politics is Robert F. Kennedy, you know, especially when he talked about the ripple of hope and how, you know, politics can be a device to give people hope and to spur inspiration to people. And that's what I really loved about Paul Wellstone as well. One of his famous quotes, Paul Wellstone, was the future belongs to those that are passionate and work hard. It was one of his driving forces. And I think for me, the catalyst to get involved in politics for me early on was that passion. Like, man, there is a possibility to do something. And exactly what Robert Blake said, you know, as soon as they get elected, where is that passion, right? Because look, at the end of the day, what Robert Blake tells us and what I really enjoy about him coming on the show is that in the foundation of it all, he's talking about infrastructure. Infrastructure is what keeps this country chugging away. And we have to be progressive. You know, we talk about Robert Pilot's Progressive Party, right? And we have to be progressive with these ideas of, you know, spending money in infrastructure, you know, like fixing bridges, fixing roads, you know, and not only that, like, you know, also ensuring that every child has decent internet service, because, you know, yeah, you look at pandemics, this ain't going to be the first one. We're going right. to have many more to come. So we got to think about those things.
Hey, Robert, somebody posted up Al Gore, and I think, you know, if we take a deep cleansing breath, we owe that man a big apology. I know you've met him, the former vice president, but Al Gore, somebody popped up there, and I feel like, Robert, we owe him a big apology.
Yeah, I mean, I was, they put me right next to the CEO of Levi's and the guy who directed An Inconvenient Truth. When I was asked to go speak at his climate reality, and Al Gore comes up to me and introduces himself to me and says, "Nice to meet you, Robert Blake." And I'm just thinking to myself, "You're Al Gore. Like, how do you know me?" The guy was incredible. And I'm just like, wow. Sorry, but I was a little starstruck and I kind of didn't know what to say to him. But when I got out on stage, I knew what to say because I had to say my piece. But but when I was introduced to him, I was just taken back that he knew who we were. Like, right. it was incredible. And that just goes to show, like, what type of guy he is, right? Mm-hmm. To get to know, like, the little people's names.
Right. Hey, he would have known us if he would have running for president again, because we were down in that Native American presidential forum meeting all our friends and relatives.
Right. So, yeah. So I he's incredible. And honestly, I mean, the work that he did around climate change, and honestly, like, that the Inconvenient Truth, I mean, that changed my life. You know, that set me down this path because it really opened my eyes to say, there's something going on here.
Yeah. Jen, one of our watchers and listeners said Al Gore was on the nightly news tonight. So that'll be interesting. I always record that if I want to check it was. You know, and it's too bad because we think about, you know, again, Kathleen says she wish he won. Things would have been so different. And that was so weird, Robert and Lewis, too. If you guys remember, Florida won that election. And 500 votes and hanging chads and all these corrupt things that we're going to be dealing with here in this new election, with all the gerrymandering and all the things that they're doing to try and get BIPOC and brown people not to be able to vote. So we really need to stand tall and resist on that, Lewis.
Yeah, one thing that I really want to focus on a little bit in the next couple of years is just energizing, keeping people passionate. You know, what I really enjoy about Native Roots Radio and the guests that we have, especially Bob Blake, is that you're passionate about, you know, solar energy. You bring, now you don't only bring the news, you bring your passion, and it's what you love to do. It's what you were built for, right? And I love to see people like that get elected. I like to see people like that that are passionate about something actually go out there and make a change. And I think, you know, in this day of complete apathy when it comes to political systems, Robert, it's tough to actually garner that passion. But again, we saw that with the Barack Obama campaign in 2008. You know, the whole "yes, we can." You guys remember that? You know, that was a big thing. And they promised infrastructure. They promised all these things. But look, the political wheel turns, and it turns by Citizens United, which allows unmitigated capital funds to our politicians and those type of issues that we also need to battle and be aware of.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and to that point, Lewis, like, I mean, you know, I always love kind of what, you know, Martin Luther King said, you know, and that, you know, social problems need a social movement. And I was at the Sunrise Movement the other day with the kids, with the youth, and to see their passion is around climate change and what they're trying to accomplish. It just it's so inspiring just to see the youth be involved like that.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing my hat and my vest, too. I saw pictures of that.
But, people want merchandise.
Yeah, I hear you. Merch is the merch, for sure. But hey, you know, I appreciate you sticking around, Bob and Lewis, for your input. It's a deal where we have to stay positive and engaged and have amplify people's voices like Robert, like Marines, like Lewis's, and what's going on here, because we're a real unique show, I believe, and people are really catching on. And I just want to give a quick shout out to the people listening to us in Madison, Wisconsin, which I love that city. If I wasn't living in St. Paul, I would live in Madison, Mad City, and I have fond memories from that. What Robert, what are you going to say there?
State Street.
Yeah. Ooh, easy. I'm old.
I'm sorry. I just have to laugh about that one.
I'm old enough to remember driving on State Street. That's how old I am. So, yeah, I want to just say, Peeny Gee, thank you so much for sticking around, Robert. And Lewis, again, thank you so, so much for all the hard work you do for Native Roots Radio and do for our community. It's really a huge deal. And I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. If you're listening to the show, you are the resistance. I want to say, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. Stop line three and mask up. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Lewis.